The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, I think today's Tuesday. Alvin, is it Tuesday?
Today is going to be Tuesday.
How could it be Tuesday? Yesterday was Monday. Oh, yeah. Okay, so today's the 9th of February. Today, doesn't impeachment start today? Or am I just...
I don't know. It might be. I'm not sure if it's in this country or another country.
But Trump left office, so how can they remove him from office when he's already removed himself? He's down in Florida. I don't get it. Or let's not talk about that. Let's talk about something... positive.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I can't think of anything. Oh, my book. My book is out. My book has been out for a week today. Marks a week that it's been out. I don't know if it's going to hit the New York Times bestseller list, but to those of you who've purchased copies, let me say thank you, because the first week really is important. Pre-sales and the first week are very important. I'm getting really fabulous feedback, Albin. And I say that because when you write a book, you just don't know what are people going to say. I'm thinking many people are going to say, like, well, it's Eric's story. It's not that interesting. Maybe it's interesting to him and his friends. But I'm getting a lot of great feedback on it. A lot of people are finding it funny. And I have to say the funny parts are funny. Some parts are not funny. Those parts are not the funny parts. But there are a lot of funny stories in it. My favorite funny parts are the stories with my dad. The V8 incident, the Whooper incident, and then who can forget the Leprechaun incident? Those are my three favorite things. I think, you know, I left one out. Can I tell you what I left out?
Well, what did you leave out? By the way, here's a copy of the book. I know you're on the road and you don't have a copy with you, but I want to show it to folks at home. By the way, I'm still messing with my wires when I got replaced
by a
robot.
That's not really the book. That's the early copy. The book itself is much more beautiful. That was the early readers.
Well, that's true.
The
snow has not let them deliver your book to me yet, but it'll get here.
I'm not kidding. It's gorgeous. Salem is the publisher. They did a really tremendous job of publishing the book. But anyway, I am getting great feedback on it. I was in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I preached at World Outreach Church, fantastic church. I just found out it's the largest church in Tennessee. World Outreach Church, the pastor is Alan Jackson. So I was in Murfreesboro. I'm in Charleston this week. If you know anybody in the Charleston area, I'm doing several speaking engagements in Charleston, South Carolina, I believe Wednesday and Thursday. So nothing today, but tomorrow and Thursday, I'm doing a bunch of events. And then Suzanne and I are flying to San Diego. Did I get that right? I'm preaching in a church I don't know if it's San Diego. I know it's in the LA area. How pathetic that I don't know the answer to that. I can look it up. But I want to say that if you can get to me. I'm putting a lot of the stuff on the live stream so people know. I'm sorry, it's Chino Hills, California. What is wrong with me?
Oh, yeah.
Chino Hills. I will be in San Jose on the 28th of February. Oh. But this weekend, the 14th, Valentine's Day, I'm speaking in Chino Hills, California. Chino Hills, California. And I'm excited about that. Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. So I'm getting around, and I've got a lot of more traveling to do, but most of the time I'll be home in New York. We need to talk about a few things.
Yes.
Number one, there are still people that are not signed up for my newsletter.
No.
I'm sending out a lot of free excerpts and stuff from the book, photographs and that kind of thing. If you're not signed up, go to ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for the newsletter, please. I also want to say to folks, Mike Lindell put out this documentary. It is called Absolute Proof, and it's about the election. If I were you, I would check it out. I think it is really important that Americans understand what happened during this election. You have to go to michaeljlindell.com. If you can't spell michaeljlindell.com, I posted it on Twitter and on Facebook and on Gab and where fine books are sold.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on Tucker Carlson this Friday night while I'm in Charleston. I have to find a studio in Charleston, but they told me they wanted me on this Friday night. So obviously last time was canceled. That's what happens with these big shows. They cancel stuff at the last minute.
Well, there was a big snowstorm, though. They did have a good excuse, didn't they? Wasn't it the snowstorm that held you up?
It was, but I don't consider that a good excuse. But you know what? Who am I?
No. They had a snowman sitting in for you that day. So that's how I know it was had something to do with the snow.
I also want to say, if people are looking for something fun to watch, if you go to salemnow.com, there's all kinds of stuff there. Salemnow.com. Because it's, sometimes it's kind of funny because it's hard to find good stuff, right? Salemnow.com, if you use the code Eric, you get 20% off. Tons of good stuff there. No Safe Spaces with our buddy Dennis Prager.
Adam Carolla.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Adam Carolla's in that movie as well. No correct. Safe Spaces, yep.
But so go to salemnow.com, use the code Eric. And speaking of the code Eric, I'm reminded, behind you, Albin, there's a cardboard cutout. It looks right a lot there. Like Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell's company has been under attack. We've talked about this. You can support him and you can support our program if you like it by buying things at mypillow.com. They're the main sponsor of our program, the largest sponsor, I should say. Mypillow.com, mystore.com. If you use the code Eric, you get a giganto discount. Now, if you use another code, you know, that money goes either into Nancy Pelosi's pocketbook, literally, or into some equally unpleasant space. And so I just want to say, use the code Eric when you go to Mike Lindell's, either mystore.com or mypillow.com. But Albin, who are we kidding? The products there are amazing.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, changed my life.
If you go to Mike Lindell's mystore.com, he's trying to compete with all these other online stores. So go there. You'll find some very unusual things, too, that you are not going to find other places. You, of course, will find Eric's books there, of course, right?
Most of my books are there. Now, Fish Out of Water, of course, is not there, but most of my other books are there. My Miracles book is there. My If You Can Keep It book is there. You know, why shop at Amazon if you don't have to? Can I say that?
Right.
So go to mystore.com. But many of my books are there. Some of my children's books are there. And I don't think we've mentioned this enough, Albin, but people keep asking me, where can I get the hat that Albin is wearing?
Yes. Yes. The hat, the T-shirts and the mugs. Yeah.
They have to, the T-shirts, mugs and the hat. They have to go to metaxastalk.com. You can get signed copies of my books there. You can get your book there.
Yes. The Hamster Home series, the whole nine yards, all six books together, ready to read series from Simon and Schuster.
So that's at metaxastalk.com.
Banner at the bottom of the page.
Banner at the bottom of the page. It says like Shop Metaxas. And
By the way, I have to mention this because John Zmierich is coming up. And when I was reading your book, Fish Out of Water, I was waiting for a whole chapter on Zmierich because you were talking about your Yale experience.
No. Zmierich was not my friend at Yale.
Oh, he wasn't.
I had drifted woke. That's the whole point of the book, is that I was trying to fit in. And I didn't know what I believed theologically, politically, whatever. So I was kind of drifting. And people said like, oh, yeah, Zmierich, he's like one of those conservative Christians. He's, you know, he's an unpleasant monster. He's a fascist.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, OK. You know, like I just went along with it. I didn't persecute him, but I kind of figured, oh, he's one of those toxic people. Yeah. And of course, now we know he certainly is.
Yeah, he is.
The only problem is we're also toxic.
Yeah.
But no, Zmierich, I didn't affiliate with him when I was a Yale. He was two classes below me.
Oh.
So, you know, we sat at different tables in the lunchroom. I think we're out of time, folks.
Well, Amanda, by the way, real quick, Amanda Grace is part three. She's in the second hour. So Zmierich, Amanda.
Zmierich, loads with Zmirek, and then we're going to play the rest. Actually, I think it's the most interesting part of my conversation with Amanda Grace. That woman is a hoot. I love her. Amanda Grace is her name, and she we talked to her for 2 hours yesterday, and we're going to talk to her for 30 minutes today to finish the conversation. Don't go away. Folks, I think I told you, I've got a friend. His name is John Zmirek. He's on the program now and again. For example, right now, John Zmirek, what do you have to say?
Well, Eric, as you'll notice, I've invited the three furies that persecute sinners into my apartment. I thought that was to be in the spirit of the post inauguration impeachment trial of someone who is no longer president.
It's important if people are watching this on YouTube that they notice your background. The three furies flying, very charming, John, indeed.
Well, you know, I like to be in an environment that reflects the macrocosm, the world around me. I've got a new piece at stream.org that I think people will like. It's called Here's My Own Secret Conspiracy Theory. Call it Zmirna. And I'm hoping that all the people watching this and listening to this and reading it will be discreet and will not reveal my identity as the whistleblower, because that would result in my being excluded from a lot of beneficial things. I would stop getting the Yale Alumni Magazine, and you know, I wouldn't know which transgender billionaire needs my help this week, and I also wouldn't get valuable investment opportunities in the Uyghur staff cotton plantations of China. You know that you invest in those farms.
Okay, so
you help those billionaires.
So Zmirnon, it's kind of like QAnon, except it's your own personal conspiracy.
That's right. That's right.
So tell us, my friend, what is the personal conspiracy theory you've cooked up?
No, this is from a lifetime of careful observation, Eric. We are indeed subject to domination by an elite that are organized and work in a coordinated pattern, and in fact are operative around the world. I call them the hive. I call them the hive because they're not like the Bolsheviks who conspired to overthrow the Tsar. They're not like the Nazis who conspired to take over Germany. They are more like termites or ants or bees, in that the people you see at Yale reunions, the people you see on CNN, the people you see at various, you know, working at Time magazine, they think they're free and they're not conscious of being part of a conspiracy. But they are in fact operated the way, you know, ants and bees, they follow pheromone trails and they just do whatever the things that they smell tell them to do. That is what the people in our elites do. They change their minds based on what instructions they get from the hive. And I'll give you an example. In 1980, when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated as president, Joe Biden believed that there are two biological sexes and a small number of unfortunate people who have psychological disorders that lead them to think that they're not the physical sex that they should be. As of now, 2021, Joe Biden has signed an executive order that the thing he believed in 1980 is now a hate crime. And in fact, the transgender identity is protected under the U.S. Constitution. It should always have been protected under the U.S. Constitution. It was, you know, it's a crying shame and an outrage that in 1783, the founders didn't know that their own principles led to the protection of transgenders, and the, you know, so that men who call themselves women can play in women's sports or can go in women's locker rooms, women's bathrooms, that waxing salons have to wax the testicles of men who say they're women.
Okay, excuse me. I need to pause to gag.
That happened in Canada, massive lawsuit.
The fact that we're talking about things like this, I always want to be a voice for the common man, for reason, for common sense.
Right.
The idea that we're actually talking about this.
Yeah.
It's absolute madness.
But
I just want to say that I think that people need to have the guts to speak from common sense. And when you're told, no, you can't, you have to say, not only can I must. If we don't speak out of common sense and say things, and I don't mean to be hateful, but I mean, what do we serve when we go along with the madness? It's happened before in history. It has never ended well. But these are the kinds of things you're talking about, John. These are crazy things.
But the point is, nobody sat Joe Biden down and gave him a philosophical argument that changed his mind. Nobody sent Joe Biden scientific studies proving that there are 47 genders because they don't exist. At no point did Joe Biden make the free, conscious, rational decision to say, I accept this transgender ideology and I now see it as true for the following reasons. Replicate that with everything else the left thinks and the left tries to force our kids to think. America was founded in 1619 as a refuge for slave owners. The U.S. was founded in 1776 to stop George III from freeing the slaves. All the nonsense that is being pushed on us by social media, soon by the government, that HR departments and corporations demand you think and will put you through training sessions to think. None of these things are the result of rational argument or of scientific progress. They are all ideology that something like a queen bee is sending out to the semi-conscious drones that obey whatever the fashionable opinion is. And the key thing is that you want to belong. You want to belong to the respectable, the powerful, the wealthy, the privileged class. And in order to do that, you have to adopt whatever opinions they are sending you this week, which can be the opposite of what they were 5 or 10 years ago. And it's like little breadcrumb trails, mice following them in the maze. They just follow the breadcrumb trails. So in my theory, I'm trying to show how absurd, groundless, crazy ideas disseminate through society without ever being subject to a rational test or a scientific test, but it doesn't matter. People absorb these ideas from the hive and they become intensely moralistic about them because they want to preserve their membership in the elite in the hive. And in the article at stream.org, I try to find when do you become a member of the hive? You know, I could have joined the hive. I was at Yale. I spent 4 years miserable because I didn't want to be part of the hive. I wouldn't eat the honey. I wouldn't buy the fly to the flowers. I wouldn't do any of those little dances that they do, that their pheromones ordered them to do.
John, I have to say this because I want my audience to know. I was one of the people at Yale who encountered this and went along with it. I remember vividly, because again, I come from working class. Obviously, I write about this in my new book, Fish Out of Water. I tell these stories. But one of the things that I remember was bumping into what you just said. I'm a working class kid. And suddenly somebody says, oh, no, you don't say Oriental. You say Asian. So this is like 1982. And I thought, what do you mean? Yeah, Oriental, that's kind of racist. We say Asian. So suddenly you make a mental note. Oh, if I want to be part of this group, I can no longer use the word Oriental. My parents might use that because they don't know better. They didn't go to Yale. I now know the word is Asian. Somebody made this decision.
Right.
And somebody associated stigma, social stigma, if you use that word and not this word. Right. That's how it began.
That's how. Right. What my theory is that the hive, when you are baptized into the hive, I think it happens in middle school. All of us had to read the novel Brave New World in middle school. A certain percentage of, now you know Brave New World, everyone is promiscuous. The government is organized around keeping people cheerful all the time and maximizing economic productivity and nothing else. So it encourages sexual promiscuity, orgies, consumerism, and drug abuse. It's constantly giving people soma, this drug that makes them feel kind of mildly happy and drugged. I think Aldous Huxley wrote it as a warning against utilitarianism and where it was leading.
Right.
I think a significant percentage of people read it and say, this is great. What a great political philosophy. Where do I sign up? That is the moment when the hive infects them and starts to change their DNA. And as the DNA changes pile up, eventually everyone turns into Brian Stelter. If untreated.
John, look, the thing that is so hard to make sense of, you know, when you're talking about this, you're realizing that this is kind of how society has always functioned on some level. But there are times when it goes fatally wrong, right? And when I say the way society functions, every community has its shibboleths and its mores and things that, you know, there's certain places, if you go there dressed this way, you'll be looked at like a freak. If you go someplace else dressed that way, you're accepted. I mean, this is normal. This is the way life works. The problem is, as you're saying, it's no longer really local. It's become much bigger. It's become national and international. And so when we come back, I want to talk to you about that, because we really need to resist this. This is something that actually needs us to understand it and to resist it. We'll be right back. I'm talking to John Zmira.
Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show.
Let there be no doubt, big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. So why exactly are we choosing to give these big tech companies all of our personal data? The battle lines have been drawn. Big tech has made it clear which side they're on. Now is the time to take a stance. Protect your personal data from big tech with the VPN I trust for my online protection, ExpressVPN. See, every device, whether you're on your phone, laptop, or TV, has a unique string of numbers called an IP address. When you search for stuff, watch videos, or even click a link, big tech companies can use that IP to track all your activity and tie it back to you. When I use ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through their secure encrypted servers, so these companies can't see my IP address at all. My internet activity becomes anonymized and my network data is encrypted. And the best part is you don't need to be tech savvy at all to use ExpressVPN. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you're protected. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies whose aim is to censor you and spy on you. Defend your rights and protect your internet activity with VPN I use every day. Visit expressvpn.com/metaxas. That's expressvpn.com/metaxas to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/metaxas right now to learn more.
Folks, talking to John Zmirak. John, let's go back. I was saying earlier that the difference between like having local mores and local ideas, right? That if you certain towns you live in, if you walk down the street dressed a certain way, nobody would give you a second look. Other places, they'd be scandalized.
Right.
Every area has its different ideas and values and things. And that's part of what makes America America. But what we're talking about is inescapable.
The homogenization.
But it's because of the media. In other words, we didn't used to have a media culture, a social media culture. It has increased so dramatically that it's possible to have centralized controls. That's kind of the issue, is that the cultural elites now have control over nearly everything.
They have imposed the more. It used to be, If you wanted to be a cross-dresser, or if you were some wacky artist, you would move to somewhere like New York, maybe even make your way to Greenwich Village, to the bohemian part of town. If you were a rock rib conservative fundamentalist Baptist, you'd be very happy down there in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And people could vote with their feet if they wanted to be in a part of the country with different mores. In the 1960s, the Supreme Court started imposing the mores of San Francisco and Greenwich Village on the entire country using the power of the government. Suddenly, abortion was just as legal in rural Mississippi as it was in Greenwich Village. Suddenly, pornography, thanks to the internet and bad court decisions, the same pornography can be found in Salt Lake City, Utah, as in Portland, Oregon. the left supported this centralization, this homogenization, under the pretense that everyone has the right to be just like us and think just like us. And if they don't think like us, their rights are being violated, especially if they're young people. So we are going to make sure that all, at least all the young people are inseminated with our ideas so that they can be as perfectly progressive and developed and sophisticated and tolerant as we are. And we will not tolerate any deviation from our tolerance. We will crush it. If you have a social media app like Parler that doesn't enforce the same censorship, we are going to destroy the company. If you have a nonprofit like David Horowitz's Freedom Center that's critical of Islam, we will get credit card company to stop processing donations. If you are pro-gun, we may try to stop you from getting on airplanes. The host on MSNBC just last week suggested that the way the U.S. government used drone strikes to kill Islamic terrorists under Obama, including one U.S. citizen, which was an outrage, maybe the U.S. government should be using drone strikes against Trump supporters who question the 2020 election, and especially those who have guns.
Okay,
this is where we are.
I just want to ask you, what I have been saying lately is that we really need to fight back. Now, I would say that generally speaking, but it seems to me now we have specific things to fight about and specific targets. For example, when Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's and HEB stores and Wayfair stores all said, we're going to gang up on Mike Lindell because he dares to question the legitimacy of the election. We're going to gang up on him. We're going to not carry his products in our stores. I say, when somebody does something that fundamentally anti-American, Americans need to stand up. If you do not stand up and speak, if you do not stand up and say something, you become part of the problem. So if you continue to give money to Kohl's and to HEB stores and to Wayfair and to Bed Bath & Beyond, you are giving money to organizations that are crushing our freedoms. Secondly, when the Bank of America chose to give private customer information to the Biden administration or the FBI because they wanted to find out who was in D.C. on January 6th, that is a profound abrogation of our rights as citizens. And if every American, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say every American doing business with the Bank of America needs to write them an email or a letter and say, because of what you have done, which is a dagger to the heart of liberty, I will take my money from you. I will not allow you to profit from me anymore because you have demonstrated contempt for the Constitution and for the freedoms that we have.
That's right.
These are things you can do.
You are my enemy now, and I don't do business with my enemies. And a lot of Christians are uncomfortable with admitting they have enemies. But you know what? When Christ told you, love your enemy, hope for your enemy's salvation, try to help your enemy go to heaven, maybe sooner than he wants to. Jesus was affirming we have enemies, because otherwise, what was he telling us? We have real enemies. And I tell you, people have to read the latest article in Time magazine. There's a great piece at The Stream unpacking it. The title is Time Magazine article celebrates conspiracy to fix the 2020 election. Have you seen that Time Magazine piece, Eric?
Well, of course. I've read most of it, and I looked at the piece that you posted. I think I already reposted the piece from The Stream. You know, John,
let's talk a little bit about what's in it, shall we?
I want to do that because I just want to say that some people have said that they think the reason Time Magazine published this is because when a lot of the ugliness begins to be exposed, they will say, well, what's the big deal? We talked about it in the Time Magazine article. We didn't do anything wrong. What is the difference? Well, we're going to go to break here. But when we come back, I want to ask you, what is the difference between what they admit doing in the Time Magazine article and what is actually un-American and criminal? Folks, I'm talking to John Smirak. Don't forget to support our sponsor, Mike Lindell. Go to MyPillow.com, MyStore.com. You can get most of my books at MyStore.com. Use the code ERIC. We'll be right back.
never say good day to the newborn. On the big
folks,
screen,
I'm talking to John Smirak, so why talk? John, what else is there?
All right, so this Time Magazine article is really remarkable. It admits that Donald Trump was almost certain to win the election as the fall of 2019. The Democrats were in disarray. The economy was strong. America was at peace. People were doing better. Jobs were coming back. So America's elites, its media and social media and government elites, panicked and decided to pull out all the stops to steal the election. And
now, hold on. You say steal the election.
Yes.
Why do you say steal the election? In other words, one thing for them to use whatever means necessary to mobilize, that's the American way. You're saying steal the election.
Yes, steal.
What is it about that article that says they stole the election?
I maintain they are confessing to an election theft. Okay, and I will unfold why. If you change the voting requirements in violation of the U.S. Constitution, in order to favor one group of people, that's stealing the election.
How do they do that?
By creating mail-in balloting on a massive scale, by eliminating any ballot security, by doing these things without the consent of state legislatures, which according to the Constitution have exclusive authority to do this, but it was done without state legislatures, often by courts and by governors and by secretaries of state, none of whom had the legal authority to do so. And they used COVID, we're all going to die of the virus. We have to vote by mail.
All you want, but I did die of the virus.
Yeah.
They buried me 3 weeks ago. And it's lucky that I'm here to do this show.
You know what I'm saying? Necromancy works.
Yeah, go ahead.
They had massive rallies in person to demand voting by mail because it's too dangerous to vote in person, but not to have rallies in person. Okay? Yeah. They got rid of all sorts of ballot security. So that right there was an unconstitutional violation of ballot security. They got social media, which because of Congress's negligence, is permitted to be biased and permitted to silence people. They got social media to conspire to take down any pro-Trump messages and then to take the president off Twitter altogether.
But John, is that illegal? In other words, we know it's wrong, but is it illegal? In other words, did they game the system in a way that you could say, well, they just beat us because they did what they needed to do? Or are we talking about genuine corruption that needs to be uncovered and somehow?
Well, again, the mail-in balloting was unconstitutional, and the U.S. Supreme Court should have heard the case and should have ruled as such. That alone.
Okay, why didn't they? Excuse me, why didn't they?
Because most of them are members of the Hive. Most of them want to
have five.
I do not think Brett Kavanaugh or Neil Gorsuch or Amy Coney Barrett behaved properly, voted correctly. I think they followed social and political pressure in refusing to hear that case. I regard them as cowards and a waste of time on the court. Maybe they'll vote right on one or two issues, but they absolutely should have heard Texas's lawsuit. It is a scandal that they heard that they wouldn't hear the Texas lawsuit. And
how
we
is
should
it possible that we could appoint folks like that under Trump, a Trump administration, fight like crazy to get them in.
Yeah.
And that they would then do something like this. Help me understand how an Amy Coney Barrett or a Brett Kavanaugh could have, or a Gorsuch, could have declined to see this evidence and to hear this case.
Because their loyalty to being a member of the American elite is greater than their loyalty to any political principles or to our country. Just the way Bill Barr could completely fail to expose the Hunter Biden laptop or to go after Hillary Clinton or to go after the Russiagate fiasco, these people are more loyal to their membership in their local country club and to their peace and quiet living in their fancy suburb than they are to the people whose votes put them on the court. This is a fundamental problem. Why would Mitch McConnell support the removal from office of Donald Trump? Why is Liz Cheney perverting the Republican Party into being a tool of the Democrats?
John. Mitch McConnell is a skunk. We've known this for decades, okay? Once in a while, he does the right thing. basically he's a skunk, he's a swamp creature. That's Mitch McConnell.
And I'm saying that these three Supreme Court, these
three, it's one thing for them to be that. It's one thing for Kevin McCarthy to be that. It is another thing entirely for a conservative Catholic Christian like Amy Coney Barrett to behave that way. So my question is, do you think John Roberts bullied them into this because there are rumors that he was screaming that there are going to be riots, the country's going to be, we're going to have civil war, we need to stay the course and refuse to get involved?
I don't know, Eric. We're never going to know. But as far as I'm concerned, if people act like swamp creatures, I'm going to assume they're swamp creatures from here on out. On the most fundamental thing, they voted like cowards. So I have no respect for them whatsoever, and I expect nothing of them going forward.
But why should anybody care about anything if even the Supreme Court appointees of Donald Trump are unable to do what strikes me as their simple duty?
Well, that's a very deep question, Eric. We have to ask ourselves, who vetted these Supreme Court appointees? A couple of guys in the Federalist Society, like two or three guys at the head of the Federalist Society, all said, John Roberts is great, Brett Kavanaugh is great, Amy Coney Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, they're great. Really, it was like three guys, one of them named Leonard Leo. And I happen to know Leonard Leo's argument for why John Roberts could be trusted. I knew some White House insiders. They told me he assured the pro-life leaders that John Roberts was solid because he would go, he liked to go to Opus Dei Evenings of Recollection in Washington, which is a conservative Catholic organization. So because he had good intra-Catholic connections and he had lots of Irish friends, everybody like, oh, he's one of us. No, he's good. He's good. Don't worry about it. It was all of
John Roberts is clearly himself a skunk, but the three appointees, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, I have to say, I am mystified. I'm also mystified, frankly, with Mike Pence. I'm not sure.
Well, let me give you a little more detail here, okay? Brett Kavanaugh was a Bush family creature, a protege of the Bush family. And I think he would be a lot more liberal than he is now if they hadn't subjected him to the Clarence Thomas treatment. Neil Gorsuch voted to say that transgender rights are written into the Constitution. Amy Coney Barrett is the only one of these people so far who I really am sort of mystified by. But again, there's a herd mentality everywhere, even on the Supreme Court.
We're going to have to go to a break. If I don't come back from the break, it's just because I committed suicide. Don't be alarmed. Hey there, I'm talking to John Zmierich. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. John Zmierich, you're telling me many depressing things. Help me, my friend.
We need to rip out the guts of the Republican Party and put in something new. How about getting rid of its stony heart and putting in a heart of flesh? There's a nice biblical metaphor. The Republican Party is fractured. In many of its insides are corrupt. I mean, why did state legislators and the state officials in Georgia collude in what was obviously election theft? Why did we see so many state legislatures be scared to do their constitutional duty and question these fraudulent election results? Because these people, the ones who actually think as you and I do, are not even necessarily the majority. I think the Republican Party is full of a lot of swamp creatures. Then there are people who think the way we do, who are, you know, kind of cowardly. They got into politics as an adjunct to their business. You know, they kind of want a peaceful life. You know, they kind of want to.
They're not heroes. They're not patriots.
Yeah.
These are not the people that built America. And I think that's the question: is do we have enough people with the pioneer spirit, with the heroic spirit of, Patrick Henry and the founders left? Because this is very dismaying. Do you have any sense of what happened with Mike Pence? Because I don't really understand what happened.
I never thought he was a great choice. Remember back in 2017, he caved on religious liberty.
No, that I know. That
okay,
I
well
know.
Then, so we
I
knew.
After 4 years with Trump, I was sure that he understood that he would be able to read the temperature of the nation and that he would see that there was an appetite for investigation into what had happened in these different states. The fact that he gave that a pass is really mystifying to me.
I'm not sure he wasn't part of the 25th Amendment coup that tried to remove Trump from office in his first year. I would be shocked, actually, if those conspirators who included, you know, various people in the cabinet, Nikki Haley knew all about it and didn't tell Trump. So keep that in mind when she runs for president. Why would you do that if you didn't have the vice president on board? I've never trusted Pence. I always thought he was, you know, like a bowl of mush that they gave us after the Mexican food to settle our stomach down. But I don't.
Oh, my gosh. I listen.
I'm glad his political career is dead as a doornail. But of course, he got a nice job. I think was it American Enterprise Institute or Heritage Foundation?
Heritage.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, he got his reward. He has his bowl massive potage.
I would have thought of him as a friend. And so I'm genuinely confused. I don't know if I'll ever get to talk to him about this, but I don't get it. Look, when somebody like Kelly Loeffler gets up and shows herself to be the thoughtless, gutless, non-leader
plutocrat
that she is, nothing shocks me about that. But when people that I expect to behave heroically don't, that is genuinely dismaying. John, we're going to haul you over the border into hour two. It's not quite like keel hauling, but steel yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, please tell your friends about this program. Please share our YouTube videos. Please share what we share on social media. As you know, we're struggling. We need your help. If you'd like to help Mike Lindell, whose products are made in America, go to mypillow.com or go to mystore.com. You can buy most of my books at mystore.com. And we'll be right back with John Zmirak.